Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. Fee-fi-fo-fum. Smelling Carl's armpit juice is never any fun. But now, we don't have to worry about it anymore, because there's the Pit Juice Protein Maker. Simply squeeze out your shirt when you get to camp and into a secret jar that's 0.0003 grams, because that's what Carl likes, and it will convert his pit juice into a protein powder for the wild. All the animals will be fed, nurtured. It's time to squeeze the juice for nature's truce. Check it out at smell.barf. Guys, what's going on? This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who still chews tree sap as chewing gum, Carl Mandrioli. What's going on, big boy? How many flavors are there now? I mean,
yeah, there's sap flavor, there's maple.
Wow.
And that's about
Sounds
it.
Sounds good. Yeah.
That,
sounds good.
That's actually not that bad. Of all the things that you've accused me of doing, that's probably, yeah, kind of minimal.
It's a wide range. Right? I try to cover all my bases. It's a wide range.
Well, with me today is Derek Somerville, a man who isn't afraid of bizarre things, like shaking the hand of the McDonald's drive-thru waiter after he orders a few Egg McMuffins.
That's right. I'll do it all day. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you've done that before. You're a handshaker with a drive-thru.
That was kind of a dare by you. And I don't know if, did you think I would actually do that, or you just wanted to see what would happen?
I thought you'd do it. You're a pretty self-confident guy.
Well played. Yeah. Well, to shake hands. I will say the employee was extremely mortified. Like, wait, what do you want to do?
Why are you shaking my hand? This is pre-COVID though, right? So this is not as
this is all pre-COVID, yeah.
Germy as it is now. But I actually was challenged by my son to go next level with that. Actually,
oh, high five. Yeah, what are we talking about?
No, next level. That high five is kind of similar, right?
We going hug?
It's kind of hard to hug, so. Yeah, we had some odds and ends from with the garage selling days, and we celebrated with some Chick-fil-A, and he challenged me to grab the bag or whatever container from the Chick-fil-A attendant with a pirate hook that we had gotten that day. So so I reached out with the pirate hook hand, and they didn't really know how to respond to that.
They didn't hook the bag, pierce it with the... Okay, never mind. Well, that's...
I was the one that with the hook, so I was like, thank you very much. See you later.
Wow. I would have... I think I would have, jammed it on the hook and said, are you ready to go? You know,
are you ready? That's a good one.
You
that's know? Better.
I would have...
Okay, well, yeah. I'll send you the hook.
Let me apply for Chick-fil-A, and I'll work there, and you can come do it.
Okay, you know? Fair enough.
All right.
Speaking of bizarre things, I got a follow-up from the Darwin... Backpacking Darwin Awards episode. Yeah. So,
okay.
Well, first of all, so it's from Doug. Doug shared some of his own, I guess, trail fails, so to speak.
Oh, nice.
But even before we get to that, you know how we talked about kind of making fun of each other's names and how we can't give our real names at places because they always mess it up.
Right.
So he had posted on Facebook, he took a snapshot of some place where they took his name down This is Doug here.
Doug.
And they spelled it D-O-U-G-H, Doe. I was like, I just said, welcome to my world, Doug. So, wow. So there's that. And then he said, so a couple fails he had. These are pretty interesting. He's got two that I thought were worth mentioning. So the first one was that I don't know how he did this, but he accidentally spilled some white gas from his stove on some pancakes that he was making in the backcountry.
White gas on his pancakes. Not good. Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was a lot because it sounds like people didn't notice until they started eating them.
Oh, this reminds me of the bug spray. Interesting.
Yeah. Would you eat white gas pancakes?
Would I taste it though?
If it's just like a couple drops, we're not talking like it's soaked in it. A couple drops.
I mean, why wouldn't I just like rip that piece off? Do I know where it is on the pancake? I'd just rip it off and keep going.
If you knew where it was, fair enough.
It's like the ant rule. Like if I see an ant or a fly, I'm just gonna rip it off and keep going.
Do you see it on your pancake or anywhere?
Yeah, on the pancake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is your household not very clean? Why are there ants and flies in your pancakes?
Oh, I didn't say it was. I'm saying if I'm camping and there's a bug there.
Okay.
Yeah. In my house.
Just clarifying there.
Absolutely.
So
it sounds
like some people are chewing some gassy pancakes there. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Does that give you gas? I have to ask. I mean, did it give them gas?
And some fiery breath if you light the match in the wrong spot.
That's horrible. So. I actually, to piggyback on that, what's your name? I said, Derek. They said, Jerry? I said, no, Derek. Gary. How do you spell Gary? JJ. Let's go with JJ. And we go back to JJ.
Just put down name. Just my name is name.
Air. My name is Air. Can you figure that one out?
That does not relate to the pancakes at all. You're a little slow on that, but that's okay.
You know what? I know.
Another thing he did, I don't know if this is Darwin, he did this on purpose, but he wanted to show that the water filters don't actually filter out salt. Like you can't filter out salt water with the water filters, right?
No.
So he didn't use salt water, of course. He used pee. He filtered pee to show that it was still salty afterwards. What do you think about that?
And did he drink it? He drank it.
I think I wasn't clear on the like.
How did he know it was still salty? He missed a drink. Well,
somebody was tasting it, right?
Somebody did something.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's next level right there.
Some good Boy Scout learning right there. Anyways, so well done, Doug. Thanks for being honest and chiming in there. We appreciate that. So
and you know, Doug, even though my Gary Jerry Carl didn't catch that it was about your Doug Doe. He thought it was about something.
It was just after we had gone on.
Well,
the
you know, he say sometimes I gotta like you know piggyback off of your long monologues, and you know I gotta get it in there. I gotta get it in there. You know what I mean? Guys, he loves the sound of his own voice. What can I do? Anyway,
okay. Here's this is not a monologue. Here's a question for you. Who do you think gets asked the most bizarre trail questions? Like, what kind of person?
What kind of person gets at? Well, the Rangers, according to the board, we apparently.
Yeah, I think the Rangers are up there. Trip leaders, I don't know, your random hiker on the trail who's...
You're putting yourself in that category?
Like the ones that we have for today that people want to ask, I don't think I've gotten many of these asked before. I've got some of them for sure. Actually, one of them I got asked as a REI employee, so...
REI people. I wonder, I'm sure they get some good ones.
Absolutely. Well, and we could, you know, that'd be a great question to ask your buddy Ryan... your day pack guy, if you could ever get him on the show.
Well, first of all, his name isn't Ryan. It's Chris, but we're going to keep trying. And I think I need to go up there pretty soon anyway. So I'm going to try and bug him, but.
Yeah. I think just go up there. I would say weekly basis and ask him every time.
Weekly basis. Yeah. Just drive 45 minutes and go up there.
Correct.
Yeah. That's easy. No problem. Anything for you, buddy. Anything.
It's for the show, man. It's not for me.
Except that. Okay.
Okay. All right, Acts 20, 9 through 10. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Finally, he fell sound asleep and dropped three stories to his death below. Paul went down, bent over him, and took him into his arms. Don't worry, he said. He's alive. Eutychus is not the first person to fall asleep during a sermon. Maybe sitting on a windowsill, falling asleep maybe. But do you find people still frequently fall asleep when you're telling them stories?
I knew you were going there. And I don't know if I've had any people fall asleep. Maybe you while I'm sending you. Because, you know, I have to read you a bedtime story every night in the tent. Mm-hmm. So that might be.
That's true.
That might be, you know, where we're going with that.
That counts.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, well, what about you? Are you, when you're, you know, grading and critiquing, are people falling asleep or what are they?
Grading. I'm just randomly grading people.
Listen, Bobby, you got a 94 on that. It's a horrible paragraph. Bobby?
Oh, I thought you meant just in life. Like cashier, you get a B plus today. You scan things pretty fast.
Is that why they're falling asleep? Is that why you're like high-fiving and giving them hooks and stuff to like keep them alert, keep them awake?
You got to engage any way you can, my friend.
All right.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let's get to some bizarre things here. So I've got quite the list. All right. Oh, some things that they're strange.
I haven't heard any of these.
No, they're strange and bizarre. And these aren't just, some of these are specifically for you, but they're for both of us. These are bizarre questions and kind of how we'd respond to them. So let's get to that right now. All right. So first one, this one's probably the least bizarre of the entire list. But it's interesting. This is the one I got asked at REI. Do you need bear spray if you're only in black bear territory?
Oh, jeez.
Like you're the employee now. Some person is asking you this.
I kind of see. Was this a person who'd been backpacking before? Probably.
A lot of people ask this question. Or this is not an uncommon question.
Because I could see that that's not that surprising, actually. Because I think if you go to like Yosemite and you see them like scurrying away, and then, you know, oh, hey, I'm going to somewhere with like, I don't know, grizzly bears or whatever, you maybe be more concerned. So, I mean, that's not that surprising. It's still a little funny sounding, but. I mean, I'm not that surprised. Like, if we've been around bears,
about the question, or you're not surprised about what? What's not surprising?
The question. Okay. If this is like an experienced person who's been around a lot of bears and they've seen the bears scurry away or whatever, but then now they're going around like, you know, grizzlies or something, maybe that would be the question. I don't know.
But they're not going around grizzlies. They're asking specifically about black bear territory. Grizzlies have no part of this question.
Well, then that's just...
The word grizzly was not included at all, in fact.
Well, I'm hoping that they're going somewhere with grizzlies, but apparently if it's just black bear territory, then...
Wait, so here's the question.
Did I misinterpret the question?
Do you need bear spray if you're only in black bear territory, and your response is, well, I hope they're not going near grizzlies?
That's my response. But now my response is going to change to, that's just plain ignorant. That's ignorant. You know what I mean? I think that's... ignorant. So this is coming.
So you're going to say no, they don't.
No.
You're going to say no and you're ignorant. That's your response to this.
That's what I'm going to say to them verbatim. Well,
they're obviously ignorant, but not in a negative way. They're people that are probably new to hiking and they really just want to know.
Yeah, they're probably new. Okay. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I would have, if I'm brand new, I might ask that same question. So, I mean. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. They do not need bear spray. If they're really afraid, that I would suggest maybe bringing like one of those mini air horns. Those things are dang loud.
Yeah,
and
but I don't mean ignorant in like a bad way. I think that's a genuine question if you're brand new and you're concerned. Like, hey, do I need this? Because I've heard this, but do I need it?
I feel like I just said that exact thing. But if you want to make yourself feel better, go ahead.
But I said it in a better way, so I think people were falling asleep while you were saying it.
Next question: when in doubt at a trail junction, should you go right or left? <When in doubt>. I told you bizarre questions.
Oh man. Geez. I guess that's a hard one to answer. Like if you're, which way did you start going? I guess. Like if you started going right, do you need to loop around? I mean, I don't know.
Good call. That's actually not a bad answer. If you're doing going in a loop, just stay going that same direction.
Four rights make a circle, four lefts. I don't know. I mean, when you get that kind of a question, you're just like, I mean, how do you answer that? It's like,
well, there's a way to answer. You could say go right because it's always the right way.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you can say that. But honestly, like was it 2 years ago when our good buddies Jared and Rocky got lost in Yosemite because they had a hard time reading the map, the sign had fallen down. I have it on video where I'm telling them you're doing a lollipop. So once you get off of the stem part and you're on the loop, just stay to your left. Literally go left the entire time until you get to the very end where you're going back to that stem. You'll recognize that junction because you've already been there. That's the only right you're making. Just stay to the left. And they get to the sign that was, you know, knocked over or whatever, and they're like, right or left? We don't know. They go right. So
let's go. Let's ignore what Carl said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, there's no, obviously you got to read the map. So that question's inherently bad. So. Speaking of bad and bizarre questions, next one is, how do ladybugs procreate?
Oh, I just heard a podcast about ladybugs. Darn it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you should know the answer to this question. So if they're all ladies.
But it wasn't about reproduction. Okay. It was about something totally different. How do they reproduce?
Yeah, if they're all ladies.
It was just about the reasoning of why they, in some parts of the country, they like infiltrate houses like by the thousands.
I would like that because I like ladybugs.
Yeah, but they're pretty gnarly actually. Why do they reproduce? Or how? What was it?
How do they procreate if they're all ladies?
That's clearly not true. There are male versions, okay, and all animals, not all. Well, I guess I don't want to say that.
What do you call the male ladybugs? Like maley bugs?
Oh, jeez, that's horrible. I think you still call them ladybugs.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Next question. If a mountain lion is stalking you, like you know it's a mountain lion.
I've seen it behind me.
It's a big cat. So can't you just throw a ball of yarn at it?
These are real questions?
Yeah, that's it. I just asked it, so wow. It must be real.
I think, no harm in trying, but...
Like, do you hike with a ball of yarn?
All the time. Okay. I mean, I guess you could throw the paracord. That would have been a better question. Mm-hmm. Can you throw the paracord at it? You know? Okay. I think that would have been better. No yarn, but paracord is good. Yes.
It looks similar, and it's equally as fun. Exactly. I'll try that with my house cat, see if they like the paracord. That's a good call, actually.
Yeah,
like
paracord.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre. Let's go with something that actually is more legit here, but still is interesting and bizarre. Should you burn your used toilet paper in the fire?
Risky business.
Or better yet, when you dig your cat hole, can you just burn it in the cat hole?
You're going to start a fire in your cat hole?
Yeah. I'm asking if you should. Is that okay to do?
I feel like it's a little bit of extra work, but I mean, I don't know. If you're like, what, bringing matches? Like if you're bringing your toilet paper to our fire pit, I feel like you're just tainting the fire pit. And do I want to
like if you're sitting around the campfire, we're having a great old conversation about, you know, throwing some paracord at mountain lions.
And you just come.
Are you okay if somebody else drops some poopy toilet paper on the fire?
No, I'm not. So would I think it's okay to like burn it and bury it in the ground privately?
Yeah, in the cat hole.
I mean, if you're going to do that, I'd say do that over putting it in the group fire. I don't want to smell whatever's in there.
If you're going to do that, do that.
If you're going to do that privately. Don't do it while we're all having our, you know, blueberry dessert, which takes, you know, like 5 cups of water and you got to wait 50 minutes or whatever. Okay. I don't smell that. Yeah. I'd say if you're going to burn it, do it privately, not in front of the group.
Okay. I wonder what the Leave No Trace guidelines are, because you're allowed to bury your toilet paper, and it's going to be break it down more if you burn it. But obviously there's the whole like fire risk when you're burning stuff. So I think if you're putting it in a hole, so it's surrounded by dirt and then you're immediately covering it in dirt. I mean, I guess you could pour some water there too. I think that's safe, right? Are we wrong on this? Derek and I are in agreement.
Can you pee on it after you burn it?
Yeah. If you time,
that'd be hard. That'd be a tricky situation. You do number two, you burn it, but then you pee on it. That might be too challenging. So maybe just bring the water bottle with you and call it a day.
Okay. So let's stick with the same theme here. Should you burn female toiletries in the fire?
I mean, I'm not a girl.
These are bizarre questions people want to know the answers to.
These are legit questions. Yeah. I'm going to say.
Let's say like not you're sitting around. Maybe it's like the tail end of the fire and people want to burn off some things that they don't want to care anymore.
I don't know what's in the female products, to be honest. I guess I'd say no until I fully knew. And you know, if you have like...
I don't know the chemicals.
You know, blood and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I don't think blood's bad, but like, I don't know what it's made of, right? Is there plastic in there?
If it's plastic, some of them? The answer's no. I'm with you on that one. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's some, like some of the casing, I don't know. I could be wrong. But some of it, I think, is just so like...
Derek's going to get back to you on that one.
Folks. Some of it's like, I know some of it's like, can be cotton or stringy.
Right.
But I don't know if sometimes if it's coated in plastic. So I don't know.
All right. Derek will do his research on...
I'll do that.
Female toiletries. Is that what I'm going to do? And that'll be your tidbit next episode, right?
That'd be great.
All right. So then here's a weird one. I'm in high school, and I have similar self-esteem to Carl. How do I ask a girl out on a hiking date? I think this is for you, I think, more than me, since it sounds like this is a knock on me.
I have similar self-esteem to Carl.
Low self-esteem.
How do I ask a girl out on a hiking date?
Yeah, any dating advice here for a high schooler?
I don't think you would ask him out if you have
So you're telling this high school kid, don't ask the girl out.
I'm telling him they probably won't. But if you're going to do it, if you want to do it, if you need to do it.
And how should they do it if they have low self-esteem?
This is what I would do. Okay, this is what you do. Okay. You go out on the hike you want to take them on, right? You do a little, like a pre-scouting hike. You grab a pine cone. You bring it back. And you don't have to say much. You just go up to the girl or the boy or whatever. You say, hey, I know where I can find more of these. You want to go? And then boom. There you go. Let's go collect some.
Let's collect them together.
Come.
Okay.
We will collect together. I'll show you how to dig a hole with this pine cone.
Right.
It can be done. And they'll be so curious. They'll be like, wait, what? You can dig a hole with a pine cone? I got to see this.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
You know?
I think that's a skill. They can learn a skill and go on a date.
Or you could say, you know, like ham and cheese and pine cones. Let's go.
Now we're getting romantic.
It's getting serious.
All right. You're welcome. You just got a date there from Derek's advice. Okay.
That's how you do it.
I'm going to start putting some names to these questions here because I threw these out to the Patreon folk as well. So thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. Jerry from Oregon asks, what's the worst thing about backpacking, Derek?
Jer Bear. What is the worst thing about backpacking other than the obvious? You know, you get the sore muscles, you get the sore...
You didn't say other than the obvious. You just asked in general.
Well, no, I'm just in general. I don't think those are the worst. I think, is it getting lost? No. Is it running out of food? No. Is it being constipated? That's up there. It's sleeping next to Carl in a smelly body. That's the worst thing about backpacking. Hands down.
Okay.
Hands down. And I think Carl would agree with me.
Gotcha. So for everybody else.
It's debatable. Okay, but if I'm being serious, more serious, in general, what is the worst thing about backpacking? When the trip ends. That's it.
Well done. Boom. Well done there.
Boom, yeah. Jerry. Boom.
There's some trips for sure that I get pretty bummed out because I'm like, I'm having such a good time. I just want to keep on going.
For sure. Absolutely.
There's been other trips where I'm pretty wiped out. I'm happy it's over, but... Yeah. For me, the answer, two words, trip saboteurs.
That's a good one.
I'm getting older and more crotchety, so I'm getting more bothered sabotage the trip. So
very crotchety.
So to the point now that we stopped inviting one of the guys altogether.
We did.
Yeah. Fun guy to have on the trip, but he's sabotaged or potentially sabotaged too many times, so he's out.
And it's blatant. I want to say blatant, but it's...
Blatant disregard disrespect.
Blatant disregard. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. From Jason, also from Oregon. Would you ever break out the fanny pack for a trip? And part two to this, do you have any pictures from the first one?
I wish, Jason. Yeah. Jason, let's go get the water filter guy. Legend, by the way. That's a good question. Like, would I bring the fanny pack out again? Like go on a trip with just the fanny pack?
I think if you got like a big lumbar fanny pack thing and you didn't contribute to carrying any group gear like normal, you could probably make it work.
I'd be willing to try. Yeah. I would be willing to try. I'll just say that.
All right. And the second part, Jason, we like all of our early trips, I didn't take any pictures. Derek, I think, was pretty good taking pictures, but not good at keeping them because I've asked him for years, can you pull up the old pictures? And he just looks confused.
I'll say this. The first few trips, and I'm so bummed, my first trip, the Red Peak Pass trip. This was before, like, iPhones. This was before I had, like, the junky, you know, flip phone picture thing.
Before cameras.
No, stop, please. And then I want to say the first trip, the fanny pack trip, I had, like, a disposable or something. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I did, but, yeah, I did not take.
I still see those at garage sales, by the way.
Do you really?
I'll get you one.
No need. I didn't take enough pictures or any pictures on those two trips. So I'm very bummed about that.
Well, I think I saw one at a garage sale a couple weeks ago, and like there was a little kid who's asking, "What is this?" And I said, "Don't worry about it. It's from the 1900s. So get out of here, kid."
I had a kid. Oh, geez. I had a kid who asked, "What's a phone book?" Legit didn't know.
A phone book. When we were kids, though, I still thought phone books were kind of dumb. They were so big and obnoxious. Yeah.
They were.
All right. Anyway, this next one, this is from Nathan from Wisconsin. He wrote kind of a book, and I narrowed it down to a paragraph. So, but it's good. It's a good one. My main pack is a 65-liter pack. All right. It is more than enough room that I need for most of my trips. I'm a lazy man, and I hate the process of breaking camp in the morning. I think a lot of people are with Nathan on this. So here, he's got a solution. He says, I find the process of carefully rolling up my sleeping bag tedious. It seems I can never roll up my tent well enough to fit into its bag on the first try. So yeah, some of those are pretty tight. Mm-hmm. I've recently discovered that an advantage of taking an oversized pack with me is that I can just stuff the sleeping bag and tent as is into my pack. No rolling or packing necessary. Mm-hmm. Just stuff it all in there. Is there any downside that I'm missing here? And do other backpackers already do this?
I think the only downside, I mean, I see where he's going with that. Like the extra space, you're utilizing the space to maintain proper laziness and to maintain. I think, and it probably is going to save you a little bit of time in packing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that stuff. But, but overall, I think the downside is you're carrying a heavier pack that could be like, you know, I don't know, half a pound, pound.
I don't know. I don't think it's that much. I think it's a wash, man. I think it's...
You think it's a wash?
Yeah, whatever he's saying. Because he's saving and he's saving on stuff sacks, right? So...
I mean, maybe. Maybe. But like, let's say he drops from 65 to like 40. How much weight is he saving
there? Yeah, that's, you're right. That's a lot. But that's not what he's talking about. It's not that extra stuff's not taking up that much space. He'd have to drop from like 65 to 60 or 55.
Okay, so even still.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's more.
If he packed, like if he had, he might be losing a little time unless he practiced like, all right, I got this packing thing down. Let's just get it done. I packed it up. I know how to do it efficiently now. And I have a lighter pack. Well, then we're all happy. But, you know, if you get there and you're like, I don't want to do this. I'm just going to throw it in there. I get it. But you're still carrying that extra half pound or more on the pack.
He's saying that that becomes his luxury item, is that he doesn't have to wrap everything up again.
So then that's fair.
He thinks it's worth it.
Then I think it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Other question was, do other backpackers already do this? Ooh. Are you aware of any backpackers doing what he's describing?
Like just throwing junk in the pack and going?
Yeah.
I think we have some people like that on our...
I do this, Nathan. Yeah. I do this. Yeah, Carl. But not with the tent. I do this sometimes with the sleeping bag, depending upon what we have going on. Mm-hmm. Definitely with the sleeping pad, if I can fit it in my bottom compartment. I'll save the stuff sack weight. I don't think I need a bigger pack. Mm. The issue with the tent, though, is that the tent gets wet and dirty, sometimes like legit dirty. And so if that's inside your pack, whether that's the moisture or the dirt, rubbing up against other things, you're just making your pack dirty, and you're actually adding weight with that stuff inside your pack. I guess you'd be adding weight anyway because it'd be in your bag. But either way, I'm not willing to do it with the tent. But when you're wrapping up the tent, you're putting it in the stuff sack, you're still just wrapping it up and putting it in your bag. So unless you have exposed sharp things, I don't think you're causing any damage, right?
No. I mean, no, I don't think you're damaged. But yeah, I mean, the tent's going to get nasty. Yeah. Your bag might get dirty. I mean,
yeah, the tent can get nasty if you don't air it out anyway, but yeah.
Unless he wants to bring another luxury item. The footprint, and then maybe the tent stays clean. Maybe he's good. But then
now you're speaking nonsense.
But then he wants to like jam the footprint.
I will say that I wouldn't put this pole. Like the poles are easy to fit inside their stuff sack. So I usually have those on the outside because they're protected. Oh, those are on the side pocket. But I'd say go for it, man. I think that's not a bad idea. You might have inspired some folks out there to be equally as lazy as you. But
more lazy, yeah.
The tent into the stuff sack is easier if you separate the poles, so that's not as big of a chore as it would be normally. Right. I think that the sleeping pad is probably the biggest chore. I don't mind stuffing my sleeping bag in the stuff sack, but the pad's annoying, right?
You think the sleeping pad's the biggest chore? I mean, I feel like that...
What do you think is? Packing up.
I mean, I feel like getting my sleeping bag in the stuff sack, getting it in the bag, like putting it on. I think just the process of putting everything back in the bag is what's annoying. Like getting the sleeping mat, I think I have that down.
Like it exhausts your forearms.
It's just tedious. Like I get it all. I try to get everything like preset in the corner of the tent at night, right? And then once I'm up, the first thing I do is like, sleeping mat, let's go. Let's just get this over with. You know, stuff the thing in there. But I think because I've done it so many times, I don't think about it anymore. But it's... I don't know. Like putting it all back in your pack is kind of like, eh. But the sleeping mat, I don't think it's. I think I have that down pretty well. But the sleeping bag's more annoying to me.
Interesting. All right, we'll trade. I'll stuff your sleeping bag and you do my sleeping pad.
I don't know if you could do it. I don't know if you're that good.
Okay.
I mean, if you're just throwing yours in your pack, you're.
I've done it before. I don't do that every time. Okay. But if you don't trust me, that's fine. It's fine. You gotta trust the person who's stuffing your sleeping bag in the sack, right?
I mean, what did you stuff in my pack when I looked away? Last trip, you know? I mean, you're stuffing
That's true.
Wrappers coated in ice cream and whatnot. So, you know, would I trust you with the little cocoon that I sleep in and feel safe in? No, I'm not going
to
do that.
I'd probably just tear it up or take a knife to it.
You'd probably put some rotten fish in there or something. Yeah. You never know.
I'd pour sticky stuff on it. So
you put roly-polies in there. That's what you do.
All right. I got two more, and they're kind of snarky.
Big surprise.
So you could probably guess who they're from. They're from Nate from Colorado Springs.
Nate, Colorado Springs. Okay.
They both got a laugh out of me when he messaged me with these. So first one, aside from Yosemite, can you name any other national park?
Aside from Yosemite?
Yeah, you get one guess, any national park.
Hmm.
Not a national forest, seashore, state park, regional area.
You know what? I almost don't even want to answer this.
Exactly.
I don't want to play the game.
That is your go-to when you're nervous about getting something wrong. That is awesome.
I mean,
I'm so embarrassed for you right now.
Why? I have national parks. I can give you national parks. But it's like he wants to.
There's like a 30% chance, Nate, he's going to say Yosemite.
Hey, is it Yosemite? It's so funny. I know. I think it's just part of it is just like he doesn't want to. He likes putting me on the spot.
He doesn't believe that you actually know what national parks are. Neither do I.
I don't know what national parks are.
The difference, like there's times when you're referring to something as a national park and it's not a national park.
Like Olympic National Park. Is that what we're talking about?
There you go. There you go. About? Well done. Well done. Okay. So right. You got him on this one. Okay. Here's some more challenging
Zion, questions. Bryce Canyon, what do you Grand Canyon.
Well done. All right. Well done. Google worked. If you go to an area that has a fire ban, so you can't use your fire starting skills, what else are you really bringing to the table?
Nate is what's his gift on the trip? I found it. It's he's a button pusher. He likes to button push.
He likes to ask almost the exact same questions I like to ask, but I think he does it sometimes a little bit better than me.
He's more snarkier. He's trying to bring me down, and I'm not gonna let it happen.
Well, do you have an answer to that question?
I bring nothing to the table. No, I bring joy. I bring the games. I bring the laughter.
It is. That's there what it I bring. Is. Okay. Yeah. Not the water filtration, just to clarify.
I bring Carl's shoulder support. And you know what I mean? Like moral support.
Oh, my gosh. No. All right. Thank you, Nate. Those are some funny questions. All right. So definitely some bizarre ones there. I think I got to all of them. There's some ones that were uncomfortable to talk about. You handled them well. I don't know that we fully answered everything, so I might have to circle back to some of these. But I've got some bizarre story trivia for you, though. This is some bizarre stuff coming up right after this.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
All right, so it's time for Rare Gear trivia. Rare Gear makes travel and backpacking oriented fishing gear. Their fly rod travels rigged and ready to cast in just 30 seconds. At just 17 inches in length when stored, it fits anywhere. So check it out at RareGear.com, R-E-Y-R-Gear.com. Thank you, Rare Gear, for sponsoring Bizarre Story Trivia. So yes. I'm going to give you three bizarre, like, basically like one-sentence stories. You've got to tell me if these happened as I'm describing them, if I might have, like, modified them a little bit to make them more interesting, or if they're completely made up.
So I got to tell you, this is as is, this is legit?
Happened, modified, made up.
Happened, modified, made up. Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And if you lose, all right,
mm-hmm.
you've got to challenge your local postal worker to a game of Uno.
Oh, I was going to say I have to go to Death Valley, but that's not a national park. Oh, wait, it is.
Yeah. Okay, man, you got that. You got the right Google site up. Well done. All right. So I just one game of Uno, just they can take a little break when they're putting your mail in. Just be like, hey, I what challenge
about Uno,
you.
What about Uno Attack, though? That's more fun where they like shoot cards at you with that machine.
That counts. That counts. You bring the machine to the mailbox, fair make enough. It happen. All right.
Fair enough. I thought I'd bring like a bunch of Nerf guns in, but I don't think they want guns in the you know in the postal area, even Nerf. No. Okay. Well,
number one, a mountain goat killed a grizzly bear in British Columbia.
Ooh, that's it right there. A mountain goat killed British Columbia mountain goat.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Mountain goat. I'm trying to think of the horn situation. Mm-hmm. Mountain goat.
Good thinking.
Ugh, like a buck. I'm trying to think. I'm going to say, I'm going to say true. I'm going to say legit. I'm going to say so legit.
It did. Yeah. They found evidence of, that somehow the mountain goat like horned the grizzly bear to death. They don't know how it happened, but they found evidence of that and figured it out. I thought that was crazy, man.
I wonder if that like the grizzly bear like tried to attack him and then he just like lowered his head and like raised it up real quick and stabbed him. I don't know.
I think you should draw a cartoon about how it happened, and we'll publish it.
If I could draw, I would, but I can't.
In which state is British Columbia in again?
Which state? You mean what? What territory that we're talking about?
Whatever you want to say.
In Canada, Carl? Again with the traps. Is that what you guys do? You find your jellies, make people feel stupid? Your jellies? Okay. Real good, guys. Real good.
All right. Number two, a Mississippi meat processor. Ooh. Found 8,000-year-old relics in the belly of a 750-pound gator.
I'm going to say, Jesus, so ridiculous. A meat grinder? I'm going to say
a Mississippi meat processor.
I'm going to say this is made up.
So completely made up. This happened. This happened
no
recently.
No way.
Isn't that
Are
crazy?
You serious?
Yeah. So I guess somehow they. What? The gator he eat. I don't know why. Like it eaten them some. I don't know. I don't know the full story, but so pretty interesting. Okay. So you got to get this next one right to avoid the insane. Postal Uno game here.
Ooh, pressure.
Number three, a man in Castle Rock, Colorado captures a photo of a deer with a large amount of netting caught in its antlers. As if it ran into a basketball net or something similar.
Modified?
I'll give you a hint. The man is me. I'm the man in Castle Rock,
Captain
Colorado.
Obvious strikes again. I'm going to say modified.
So not only did it happen, but I posted it on Instagram on our Backpacking Blisters account like a few months back. So thanks for paying attention. Oh. Thank you.
Yeah, a few months back and you didn't remember, Derek?
Yeah. It was really striking. Like it got a lot of reactions.
You know.
Yeah. It was really like... sad. I was actually trying to find the deer and take it off.
So you thought it's sad. So like, hey, let me take some photos of him.
So you feel like that would embarrass the deer. You feel like that I was not being sensitive.
I think you needed to be more sensitive to the deer and, you know, you're not being a deer. You're being a rude person. So did you get the netting off? Were you able to?
I'm not being a deer. I'm being a rude person. Okay.
Be a deer.
I get it. I get it.
Like your grandma would
you.
Say, like Carl's grandma would say.
That was a punny joke.
You like that? I thought you'd get that and you got it. Well, did you manage to get it off or what? What happened?
No,
you didn't.
It was embarrassed. It's too embarrassed. It wanted to go hide.
You just wanted to mock it and take pictures and put it online. Yeah. It's typical tourist.
Speaking of mocking and taking pictures, can you have a passerby take a picture of you playing Uno with the postal?
A passerbyer. I'm gonna find somebody.
Yeah, like a neighbor.
I'm gonna find somebody.
I've got some tidbits. Thank you for asking. So, first one is we got an update with Shane's LifeStraw. He's the one that gave a review about the LifeStraw water filter. Mm-hmm. He says that it's holding it pretty well after some long trails and some muddy water. He had to.
Oh, right.
I don't know what you've got to do with that filter. Back flush it, shake it out, whatever. He says it's holding up. I think he said it was holding up equally as well as his Sawyer squeeze. So, yeah. But it functions more like the B-Free.
Really?
Yeah. So if you like the B-Free concept, but you're dissatisfied with the bag or with the life of the filter, this might be an option for you.
Interesting. Would you get one of those? Would you dive into that?
I would try one for sure. They were at the Outdoor Retailer Show back in January and I interviewed them and then I followed up with them and they never did he give me a non-response? And so I get pretty like upset with the non-responses.
It's a good way to sell some product and get it out there. It's good. Yeah.
Anyway. So thank you, nice. Shane, for the update. Other tidbit is, speaking of the Outdoor Retailer Show, so they just had one this past week and a half ago or so. And I was so excited because you were interested in going. Did you make this one?
No. No, I did not. No.
No. No. No. Your effort level?
Unavailable.
Minimal unavailable. Or nil, would you say?
You yeah, I believe that. Oh, wow. I was practicing my fire starting skills, and that's what was going on.
Okay. So I actually, I'm kind of not, it's not as much fun for me to do interviews and go to events without anybody else. And so I recruited somebody. I recruited
the perfect person.
Tupperware Mike to go.
Yes.
Who's very conversational, asks a lot of questions. And so we'll start putting in some of those here in a few weeks, some of the interviews we got. Mm. But I'll preview that Buff was there. I talked to him.
Yes.
And I didn't pull any punches.
Good.
So, yeah.
I hope you,
There's more to that story.
I'm excited for that. That sounds good. Well, before we go, what do we got on the Patreon? Let's talk about the Patreon.
Yeah, we still got that unbearable episode for June, which is right. a good one. And we haven't had anybody join Patreon in a really long time, and I got a free Buff from the Outdoor Retailer Show. You can have it. It's in the package. You can have it. Next person who joins Patreon.
What color is it?
It's like multicolor, but it's kind of a darker shade of something. But next person who joins it, I'm sending it out to you because we really would like to grow our Patreon community. So please join. That Buff is yours. And it's legendary. It's got a story behind it. So you go. That, my friend, is all I got.
That's all I got. Well, guys, that'll do it. Check out the Patreon, Backpacking Blisters Podcast. Leave us a review on any Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. We hope to see you or hear you, not see you, but hear you next time. Leave us a review if you can. And remember, guys, if you, if you're Carl and you're going on a trip, what do you bring to the trip? This is what Nate wants to know. What do you bring to the trip? He brings the bad jokes and he brings the horrible cooking of pancakes. We'll see you. I want to fly. Yeah, Carl asked me one time, like after we prepped for this show, he's like, Derek, I know that you bring fire starting skills. I know that you bring jokes. I know that you bring good vibes. I know that you bring great pancake cooking. I know that you bring just amazing conversation. I'm like, what do I bring to these trips? I don't know if anybody thinks that I bring anything to these trips. And I was like, you know what? You're probably right. Maybe you don't bring anything, but you know what? You still show up and you still complain about those shoulders. And you still, mock the people who get lost. And we need that. We need that. And every trip planner needs that. So your mockery is what you bring.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8" Western. Oh, mule deer, baby. Right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. 4 in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.